We bring in our Hollywood guru, Michael Warshauer. Michael, thank you as always for the time. How are you today?
Doing great. Happy to join you guys as always.
Lots to talk about today, and something that I wanted to get to last week, we kind of ran out of time. Well, we've got to ask about the third installment of Bill and Ted. So this won't be a bogus journey or an excellent adventure, but this time around, Bill and Ted being forced to face the music. Is this a sequel that we should get our hopes up for?
Well, it's one that I certainly have my hopes up for. There had been rumors about this movie for years and years, and it finally came together within the last, I believe, two. It brought back the original cast, Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter, as well as some of the supporting characters that we know from the first two movies, and brought back original writer Ed Solomon. So it really has, sort of the original gang back together, and the first two movies are such classics. And this one looks pretty funny. It has the two of them. They get visited in from a visitor from the future who tells them that one of their songs can save life as we know it, and they need to bring harmony to the universe. A trailer just dropped a few days ago and shows them actually going into the future to try and steal a song from themselves. And whether they're debating whether or not that's stealing because it's coming from them. It looks like it has all the hallmarks of the original two classics. And, Keanu especially has been kind of on a roll in comedic roles recently. He's, been not afraid to sort of ease into his image. He was hilarious last summer in the Netflix comedy Always Be My Maybe, playing himself. And, it's just so great on his own. So it's one I'm excited for. And it's just a good bit of nostalgia, I think, coming later this summer.
Party on, dudes. Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to this sequel. And, you never know what Theodore Logan and William S. Preston have in store for us. So it should be a lot of fun. All right. I didn't have the chance to watch this, but based on some of the responses I saw, seems like it was pretty positive. But Bryce Dallas Howard put together this documentary called Dads, apropos, right, for this weekend with Father's Day. What kinds of things have you heard about this?
A lot of the same positive feedback that you've heard as well. I think, really is a pretty interesting concept. She went and talked to several famous fathers and several non-famous fathers about what it means to be a father and what the challenges are and the joys of it, and sort of how fatherhood has shifted in meaning throughout the years and as gender roles have evolved over years. So really interesting. I think it had Jimmy Kimmel, Will Smith, Judd Apatow, and of course her own father, Ron Howard, talking about everything. One of the interesting stories that stuck with me in the clips that I've seen from it was Conan O'Brien talking about how a day after his daughter was born, he went and hosted his live show like normal, and how he looks back at that in hindsight and thinks, how weird it is that he did that as opposed to being with his child, and just sort of how that evolved his understanding of fatherhood and with his job. So I think it's a pretty interesting take on what you sort of look at it at first glance and say, well, that seems like it would be kind of boring, just a couple of dads talking about their kids. But in fact, it kind of goes deeper into that and explains the ways that fatherhood has changed them as humans, as men, and really evolved their lives. So certainly an interesting watch, and definitely very, very good to have this past weekend.
That's in the queue for me, for sure. I can't wait to check that one out. Again, Michael Warshauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Dave Franco made comments about a drive-in premiere for his directorial debut, The Rental 2. So a couple of things here. Actually, The Rental, not the sequel, just The Rental. So a couple of things at play here. Number one, you think that this drive-in premiere is something that we should probably get used to moving forward? And number two, what do you hear about the movie?
So as far as the drive-in premieres, I think it's definitely something we're going to see a lot more of. I think, we've obviously seen drive-in theaters over the last few months have a little bit of a renaissance and have those outdoor screenings become a little more common than I think they have been in the past. And so I think there's definitely a chance of it. I know that the theater that he did his premiere for was for a long time the only outdoor drive-in theater in Los Angeles County and was recently renovated and fixed up. And so it's part of a revival itself. And it really would be very similar to, you know, the way movies were premiered really until the mid-70s in a lot of ways. You would frequently have, you know, your big major releases, but you'd have smaller movies that would go town to town and do sort of like a road show or have sort of smaller events to promote the film within each individual community. So I could see it happening where you get some maybe smaller, more hyped movies that potentially, like, you get to go, and a city will get like a 2-day engagement of showing it before it hits on video and demand, that kind of thing. It's a good marketing ploy. It's a good way to get people out and seeing the movie while theaters are still certainly a little bit questionable health-wise. So I definitely see that as being a kind of a new tradition, I suppose, certainly this summer. As for the movie itself, it looks really good. It stars his wife, Allison Brie, as well as Dan Stevens and Jeremy Allen White from Shameless. And it's about two couples that are on an oceanside getaway who grow suspicious that the host of their seemingly perfect rental house may be spying on them. And before long, their celebratory weekend turns into something far more sinister. So it sounds like a pretty creepy movie. Certainly an interesting turn from a guy who made his name doing comedies like Neighbors. But it's one that I'm excited for, and it'll be coming out on video on demand July 24th if you can't get out to see it at the drive-in.
Well, I am always one for the whole, you know, creepy, suspicious neighbor, could be a murderer type narrative, so I will definitely be wanting to check that out. A new season of Yellowstone is upon us. I am yet to see the show. Bull claims to have seen a couple of episodes himself. How would you rate the series so far?
It's a pretty interesting show. It, you know, it came from Tyler Sheridan, who was a writer on Sons of Anarchy before going on to do Sicario and the film Hell or High Water, both of which are really fantastic films. And so it was one that I was very excited about. It has Kevin Costner basically as a guy who oversees a massive ranch that borders an Indian reservation as well as Yellowstone National Park and all of the territorial feuds that are going on in that area and land grabs. It's an interesting show. It reminds me a lot of a show like Ozark, just based on its setting, but it has sort of the rich upper crust arguing of shows like Billions or Succession. So it's a really interesting show. I've heard great reviews about its season 3 premiere. I have not gotten caught up that far myself, but it's certainly entertaining, and especially in the summer months when usually we have a small amount of new entertainment, it's nice to have now in a summer where a pandemic has made those shows even more scarce.
Yeah, I got through the first couple of episodes when it first came out, and then in the summertime I just kind of got derailed and wasn't able to get back into it. But I see those previews pop up all the time. The two episodes I saw, it was really awesome. Really, really good. And that's a series I can't wait to sink my teeth back into. And very clearly it's doing pretty well if it's on its third season. All right, we talked about Yellowstone, and now we've got to talk about something else that is returning. How about the return of 30 Rock? One of my favorite shows. I love this show. So many stars walk through the set of 30 Rock, of course. And how many originals are we expecting to be part of this return?
Oh, well, I'm very excited for this as well. So far, we know for sure that we're going to get the principal cast of Tina Fey, Alec Baldwin, Tracy Morgan, Jane Krakowski, and Jack McBrayer. My guess is you'll get to see a lot more supporting cast, like the writers, like Tuper and Frank and Lutz and all of the sort of background characters that popped in. I'm sure we'll get some of the major celebrity cameos as well. Basically, the whole idea behind this is it's going to be on NBC on July 16th. It is basically a scripted version of the NBC Upfronts, which is an annual presentation that every network makes to the media and to audiences announcing their new schedule for the fall and their new shows. So with the pandemic going on and production at a halt, NBC and their marketing team got creative in how they were going to do their upfront presentation and got Tina Fey and the gang back in on the action. So we know that it's going to be some sort of a fictional telling of the NBC upfront with the actual new shows being presented across all of the NBC Universal platforms. But that's about all we know. But either way, I'm so excited to get to see all of these characters again at the show that I rewatch maybe once a year at least and just absolutely love it. So something certainly to look forward to.
Any coincidence that this is coming out right around the same time that NBC is trying to pump up their new Peacock streaming service?
You know, I think maybe they had that in mind. Certainly a really big time for NBC, kind of make or break. So this, yeah, definitely is a good PR move for them in giving some attention to their brand new and free streaming network.
Okay, so while we're on that topic, before we get to Picks to Click, NBC has produced a lot of wonderful shows throughout the years. I'm kind of curious as far as this Peacock streaming service. It's free, although there's going to be some premium content on there you probably have to pay for. But do you know how much of the SNL library, if any of it, will be available on that Peacock streaming network? Because to me, that would be a game changer if they were able to give you access to every last bit of their Saturday Night Live library.
Yes, that is actually one of the biggest things. When they announced that it was coming out, they said that they were going to have all 44 seasons of SNL on Peacock, so you will be able to get to see every episode. However, the catch is that they haven't necessarily cleared or announced that they're going to have all of the music performances, whether or not there will be some sketches cut out due to rights issues or anything like that. But certainly it's pretty exciting. I know when Netflix started their streaming platform, they had SNL for a long time before it disappeared, and it was really awesome to go back and watch just those classic episodes untouched. So that is a big element of this platform that I think will sort of elevate it above its peers.
Here's why I state that. They actually came up with an SNL app of sorts that was very closely and obviously tied in with NBC. It was so hard to navigate through that, and it just didn't work, I think, the way they anticipated it would. So I'm so happy to hear that that's part of the Peacock streaming service. If you're a guy like me, in the 90s, I grew up on the SNL episodes of King Farley, Sandler, Spade, Chris Rock. That whole cast was out of this world fantastic. So I cannot wait to get my hands on that. That will be awesome. All right, Michael, we'll close out with this week's Picks to Click. What should we be watching this week?
Well, a couple of great things to watch Friday and Sunday. One happy, one a little bit darker. On Friday on Netflix, you can check out Eurovision Song Contest, the story of Fire Saga. We've talked about this a couple times. This is the Will Ferrell movie with Rachel McAdams, Demi Lovato, Dan Stevens, and Pierce Brosnan taking on the famous Eurovision Song Contest. So that'll bring some laughs on Friday night. And then Sunday on HBO and HBO Max, is the premiere of a new docuseries called I'll Be Gone in the Dark. It's based off of the book of the same name. It's about a true story about Michelle McNamara, who is the late wife of comedian Patton Oswalt, who is a true crime reporter who exhaustively searched for the Golden State Killer, a notorious rapist and serial killer, and unfortunately died before he was caught, but her work led to his arrest. And so it's a six-part series on her research of that case and then what happened after she passed away. So a couple really exciting big things to check out this weekend.
Yeah, you're right. Two totally opposite ends of the spectrum, but both very, very interesting indeed. All right, Michael, as always, we appreciate your time and we appreciate your insight, and we look forward to catching up again next week.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Michael. Again, that's Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.